And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Best ball player I ever saw, Richie DiCiuccio at Monsignor McDougal, had a great bounce pass. He could bounce the ball any way you want. Best player I ever saw. And his brother was even better. Dice Murphy used to shake dice while he played ball. I've never seen anything like it. Best ball player I ever seen. Back in those days, you weren't allowed to dribble between the legs. If you did, you had to say a Hail Mary. He jumped up and he ate the net. He ate the whole net in one bite. He played at St. Keith. He played at Bleeding Martyrs. He played at Our Lady of the Furniture. He played at PS 1-2-3-4-5-6-7-8. He played at Our Lady of Seasonal Depression. Herschel Rodriguez at St. Agnes School for Jewish Puerto Ricans. Johnny Tsunami, he used to be a surfer, but he learned how to snowboard. Johnny Cage, Shang Tsung, Noob Saibot. There was Sweet Peaches Robinson. He would have been better than Julius Erving, but he killed a guy with an ironing board.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Thursday, January 12th, 2023. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory, and alongside me, as always, Tess Mellis.
Podcast listeners, this is for you.
Next to Tess, he has my bearded one, Natasha Hotboy, the cool guy, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o.
Hey-o. And last but not least, making the magic happen, super producer, J.D.
Hello.
There you are.
I got no help today, so too many buttons to press.
Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. Comment away, like the video, and subscribe. Oh boy, we're getting awful close to 60,000 YouTube subs. So keep subscribing, keep sharing the show. Send in your questions and comments to nodunks@theathletic.com. Tweet them in at nodunksinc. That's INC on the end. We're hitting the beach. Later on this podcast, we got some fun questions we'll get to. Get your No Dunks merch over at nodunks.com. We got hoodies and t-shirts and shorts and mugs and all that good stuff. And coming up later today at around 1 p.m. Eastern, bonus podcast. It's a doubleheader here in the Classic Factory. We're going to be doing some NBA midseason tiers where we'll be ranking the league's best and worst teams. All 30 of them. Just like we did in the preseason, we're going to do it again. So again, that's around 1 p.m. Eastern, live on YouTube, and we'll flip it in to a podcast. But let's get to the games, and let's start with one that our guy TK was at last night. Jrue Holiday, Lopez, helping the Bucks hold off the Hawks. 114-105. Our Slack channel was buzzing last night.
Oh, it was buzzing.
When the Bucks were up, what'd they get it up to, 24?
24, 25? I think, was the biggest lead.
Yeah. We were asking Trey, are you staying? Are you leaving? Like, what's the plan here? This is a big, big lead. And then we didn't hear from you. You went radio silent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the Hawks come back. They tie this thing up. And I'm, like, left wondering, is he there?
What a
did
mystery.
Did he leave? Well, what happened?
Well, you know, Christian and Scooby were the halftime act.
Oh, nice.
And when Christian released Scooby from his holding pen, I transported back to the 1990s. Mm. My phone died. I had no access to any other scores or statistics, and I was sitting two seats down from John Konkak. It was wild times at the Fortress. Honestly, an ultra-weird game. Like we said, the Bucks got up 24, and then they went ice cold in the second half. It looked like they just wanted to shoot jumpers after shooting 12 for 24 from three in the first half of the game. In the second half, they went 6 of 24 from three. I went and checked the tracking data. Every one of their attempts was open or wide open. They were getting great looks, and they just could not make them until they finally started making them right at the end of the fourth quarter, just like Jrue Holiday has been doing recently. Plays an odd game through the first three quarters, gets hot in the fourth to carry the Bucks over the line. I know Ziggy and the stream team have said nothing is easy with the Bucks, and that turns out to be the case, but so many weird things happened in this one. Big G, only 7 points.
Yeah, Giannis.
Yeah. Didn't score the last 18 minutes. Giannis Antetokounmpo had the first basket of the game. Then he scored 5 points the next 47 minutes.
Yeah.
I think he's in a little bit of a
Everybody else, you do it for now. I think he's in one of those. 10 assists in this game.
10 assists?
This is just going through a little spell where he's bumping and crashing and scoring 40 each and every game. I think he's just in one of those modes. He can do it whenever he wants. I think he's just, he just knows at the end, I'm going to need my perimeter guy, so he's in the pass mode.
He had a highlight rebound in this game.
Had a highlight rebound.
I was tweeting to you and John Schumann, who I know also love those sicko highlight rebounds. That was huge rebound in traffic. That was kicked out then to the corner there.
That was
three.
Big time. Yeah. But you're right, Tess. He can do it anytime he wants to. It didn't look like he wanted to me. Mm-hmm. The Hawks were doing a good job of making him see bodies. It was like a 5 team on Giannis every time he went into the lane. So he wasn't super interested in scoring.
No Clint Capella either.
Like, it just... Giannis was in distribution mode last night. Milwaukee only 42 points in the paint, only 11 total free throws. That's just weird for a Bucks team. Also weird, this was the Frank Kaminsky game.
Yeah.
13 points, 3 threes, a plus 13. The Hawks bench was awesome at the end of the third quarter, going into the fourth quarter, just turning over the Bucks time and time again. And then there was just a lot of weird stuff happening around the arena. On the kiss cam, we had multiple people going tongue out lick.
Oh, that dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. I gotta say it.
Big tongue.
Had one of the biggest tongues I've ever seen.
That was a monster tongue.
That was wild.
The new Gene Simmons. I was like, hey, if you got it, flaunt it.
That guy is the new Gene Simmons. You're right.
That was wild,
man.
That
was nuts.
That wasn't even the craziest thing on Kiss Cam.
Right, yeah. Go ahead. I saw this tweet come up without the Kiss Cam video about the tongue suckers.
Oh, the tongues were out. Yeah. Big tongue night. And then Harry snatched a wig.
Wow, yeah. That was.
You think that was a bit?
I was a bit.
I'm not convinced it was a bit.
That's how good it was.
That one seemed too real to me, Skeets.
I don't think so, Trey, because I was taking note of it. I saw the bit. So Harry, kisses a woman beside him in front row, courtside.
This was the first part of the video, right?
No, this is right at the end.
Oh, it's right at the end.
It was the last. It was in the bit section, unfortunately.
Yeah, it was the bit section. And then when he pulls away from his giant kiss with his giant beak... her hair comes off, like her wig.
And she's upset, of course.
Yeah, and the guy stands up behind them and is like pointing. Oh. That was the giveaway to me. Way too dramatic. And then it then like crashed out, of course, to the actual in arena. And I'm looking. I'm like, where's Harry? Where's Harry? Is he sitting courtside? I couldn't see him. I think they got you with a bit.
I got swindled by a bit. I'm usually on to the bits.
Yeah.
That must have been a new one because I feel like
yeah, I didn't see
you
that
can
one.
Tell it's an old Hawks bit because they'll have an old jersey on there.
Right.
I can't get rid of those great bits, unfortunately.
We got people on the inside. We can find out definitively whether
or not. Okay. Somebody right now.
All right, let's get to the bottom of this
easy.
Bit.
Was that wig thing a bit?
And then there were a couple of funny music things as well. You know, they have often on a Jumbotron, if you're sitting in this row, you win tickets to a concert. Like I was sitting in a row at a Bulls game, won tickets to a Lollapalooza show. Didn't go.
That's pretty good. 12 hours away. I mean, that's...
Yeah, that
was a
good
win.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's like pizza.
Yeah.
You know?
And sometimes, like last night at the Hawks, it was tickets to a Barry Manilow concert. What? Barry Manilow hits 2023. Coming to State Farm soon. Who's excited?
Lee Ellis, probably.
Yeah. He's getting free tickets for sure. And then the last little bit of weirdness. They were doing Name That Tune up on the Jumbotron.
Yep.
Two guys guessing rap songs. They played Hustlin' by Rick Ross. Yeah. These guys had no clue what the song was. I was like, man, that's sad that they don't know that. Then I looked it up. Hustlin' came out in 2006.
Right.
I didn't realize it was that old of a song. But the thing that made it worse, Rick Ross was in attendance last night.
Oh, that's going to hurt.
He was sitting courtside. He's like, that's my biggest hit, my debut single. And these youngsters have no idea. Oh, he needs to drop it again, I think.
Yeah, a little tiny remix or
exactly.
Something like that.
Okay. Hustlin' 2023 with Barry Manilow.
I love this. This is my favorite segment on No Dunks. Yeah. Tales from the Fortress.
Tales
where
from the
one
fortress,
of us goes
man.
Down and we talk a little bit about the game, but all the other stuff. Did you get to shake a paw? Did you say hi to Scooby or Christian?
No, I like I said, I didn't. I didn't know they were going to be there.
Yeah.
And then I was Christian and Scooby. I was excited. Then my phone died, so I couldn't communicate with anybody.
Okay. I guess it was a nationally televised game on ESPN, so they bring out the big guns. Yeah. Christian Scooby, one of the best.
And John Konkak.
Connie. Wow.
What a name drop. It was kind of a tale of two halves for me, personally, at home. Happy that I didn't go in the first half, because I applied for a media credential, got one, had a parking pass.
Oh, you were set.
I was set, but decided to go out with my wife for dinner instead.
Oh, that's nice.
I'm leaving her this weekend with two children. I thought, this is the trade-off. Do you have to trade that's off? Good. Don't we have a wonderful relationship? Do I need to do something just prior to going away for the weekend? I felt like I did. So I did that instead, but got home, saw the blowout was happening, was pretty pumped. Then second half.
Comeback song.
A little sad. The place was absolutely rocking. There are a handful of moments when that arena has been rocking this season.
Yeah,
it hasn't
right.
been the same.
Few
it just
far
has.
Between.
But right at the end, you mentioned there, Giannis grabbing that 18th rebound. I think that was his last one there. 120 left over John Collins, where he just scrapped and got it. So it's not like he wasn't trying in this game, but he definitely was trying.
He had like 18 boards.
18, yeah. 10 assists and 18 boards to go along with 7 points. I do think it was his first double-double without points to get sure. to 10 in his NBA career.
Right.
And that was one of the best boards of the season, IMO.
Just, great board.
Just going over John Collins, passing out to Javon Carter, and then sealing the deal. We talked yesterday about John Collins potentially going to the Brooklyn Nets, that there's this rumor out right. there that they would trade Royce O'Neal, Joe Harris, a couple first-round picks for John Collins. The Nets need a true big man, and if they go small with John Collins, I could see this being a Nets-type move. We've seen in the past couple of years, they try Blake Griffin. They try LaMarcus Aldridge at the center spot. I think they legitimately need insurance for Nick Claxton, because if you do something like this, if you do something like a big man who's not a real big man in John Collins, I think these type of things would happen in the playoffs. It's just, it doesn't make sense to
what
me
about,
totally.
What about Clint Capella then?
Sure, yeah.
That's the type of big you're looking for. I know he can't stay healthy, which is unfortunate, but
yeah,
that's the sort of backup big you're looking for?
Well,
you know, take
yes,
care of the board.
Yes,
in
yes.
theory.
It would cost less. I mean, it would be ideal if he could shoot threes, this make-believe big man here.
Okay, now you want it all.
Well, you know, a big man. There's guys out there who can just shoot threes and play defense. John Collins is an incredible offense player, would raise their level of offensive talent.
Yeah,
but that's not what the Nets really need. They need D and they need height.
Yeah, Nets fans were not really all that on board with that hypothetical Hawks-Nets trade.
Nah.
Hawks fans were definitely more like, we would do that for yep. John Collins. Yeah, Royce O'Neal, Cam Thomas, Joe Harris to make the money work there, who would probably play in our rotation, a couple picks, but yeah, maybe doesn't happen. I always, in a game like this where the team is down big, like 24, like you said, and then they come back, and a lot of it was the comeback because of Frank the Tank, because of Johnson off the bench, Bogdanovich off the bench, you know, Griffin again. I think that's always got to be a difficult decision for a coach to make, like, our bench brought us back. Their energy, and paired with the Bucks just missing a lot of open threes. But we're back in this game because of them, because of their hustle. But now I do have to, like, go back to my starters, I guess, to, like, try and finish it off. But you also want to reward the guys that got you there, but then they're maybe tired. You know, I always think that would be a tough decision for me, and I think probably for coaches out there. Like, what do we do? Just keep running with these guys? They gave us a chance. Or do you have to, like, go with your starters and say, okay, they gave you a chance. Now go do what your damn job is, right?
Yeah, and I think you saw, like, Frank the Tank got a little bit of a taste there in the last couple of minutes of the fourth quarter as well, because he was instrumental in the comeback at the end of the third and fourth quarter. But, you know, if you're a bench player playing a long stretch, you got to get a little bit of a rest. But
yeah,
there were
yeah.
times when... when Nate McMillan was able to bring Frank back in. And so, yeah, I don't know. Not an impressive game, I didn't think, from Okongwu. So rolling with Frank the Tank for a little bit there. Probably nobody else was as happy as I was to see Frank the Tank balling out
were
there.
You doing,
because,
like, were you doing this and stuff like
no,
that?
No, no. I was there on press. So it was just...
Oh, yeah. But,
yes. Well
just
shot.
Looking down at
well
at,
shot,
at John.
And, well, and I, honestly... there were so many times I wanted to say to him, he looks like a young John Concat. I don't know what it went over.
Okay.
He would have liked it.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
He gave me a shoulder pat on the way out.
Oh, that's nice.
Well, I think just for letting him by.
Oh, yeah. Well, you don't think he knew you?
No, 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 no. I was just being courteous. He's like, thanks for not saying that about Frank the Tank being a young me.
I'm just like, is that I can't tell
is
if that's a compliment. A diss.
Yeah,
I'm really,
exactly.
I'm really racking that one in my brain. All right, let's keep it going here. Some other games. Jalen Brunson, RJ Barrett coming back, helped the Knicks hold off the Pacers 119-113. And some unfortunate news for the Pacers in this and their fans. Halliburton left the game in the third quarter when he went down. He went down hard and sort of hurt his elbow and his knee. And then he was seen to using crutches after the game, and Rick Carlisle's basically like, he's not going to play in the next two games probably, and we'll wait to see how severe this is. Hopefully it's nothing serious, because God, the guy's having an unbelievable season. We think, I know Wally Szczerbiak doesn't want to hear this, but we think he might be an all-star. Who knows if he starts or not, but probably an all-star reserve. But anyway, Knicks held on at the end. They had a massive lead And the Pacers came back. They were up 25. And the Pacers made this game. Yeah,
yeah. Without a guy who seems to be sort of everybody's golden boy this season, Tyrese Halliburton. Mm-hmm. And hopefully it's not serious. And I say hopefully, but also it felt like it wasn't serious. It seemed like precautionary that the crutches were out there. Rick Carlisle implied that it wasn't serious, but they're going to be cautious here. Yeah. Wild to see the Pacers come back in this game from 25 to almost squeak out the victory. And it was in the last minute. There was funny stuff going on in Atlanta. There was funny stuff going on in New York. Quentin Grimes came in after not playing the entire fourth quarter. He left the game about a minute left in the third quarter. It was like real time, about 35 minutes that he sat. He comes in with 1 minute left. The Knicks up three. Buddy Hield shoots, tries to get a foul call, which was a bad move. And he's complaining that he didn't get the foul call. Pacers aren't getting back. They have a breakdown. Don't get back at all. Quentin Grimes is leaking out. Just came back in the game. He's right beside the rim. They throw it up to him. Literally could have put it off the board and in.
Yeah.
Like a 1 foot shot that any person who's ever picked up a basketball can probably shoot. He passes out with about 45 seconds left.
Yeah, he's thinking kill more clock for sure, but I guess probably take the 2 points.
But like we're going to get to Zach LaVine a little bit later on, did he know time and score? I'm not so sure. He definitely wanted to kill time, but it was 2 points. But this is why I love Quentin Grimes. He knows his shots. He stepped out beyond the three-point line, got the ball back a little later in the possession. Bang.
Yeah.
He hits it.
He's like, why score two, and I'm going to hit three later in this possession and kill way more time. Thank you.
Listen, I love him, and maybe he made a mental mistake there. I'm not 100% certain whatever happened. It's all about the chemistry with this team. And this guy, who maybe not the most talented dude in the world, can't take everybody off a dribble, just knows his role so perfectly. Fred Katz of The Athletic has a great article about Quentin Grimes and how he is the master of beating closeouts, how he goes past closeouts on offense.
Oh, that's some real sicko shit.
There's stats
right there.
On it, man. There are stats on Quentin Grimes and how he can feel out a closeout and go right by a guy. He just knows that he just doesn't play one-on-one, and that's why he's good, and that's right. Why, and he plays defense on the other end. And in an instance where he could have a 2 foot open shot, he says, nope, not part of my shot profile. I'm going out to the 3 point line. He shoots threes. He goes by guys. He plays hard defense. And the Pacers probably came back because Quentin Grimes wasn't on the floor. I'll just say that. they win the game, and a wild one. That was a weird one, but
you got to subscribe to The Athletic at The Athletic. .com/NoDunks because Katz got stats. Great piece from Fred Katz and Seth Partnow about how many teams are blowing leads this year. It's written kind of from a Knicks perspective because they've had several times where they've blown big time double digit leads.
Yep.
He released it yesterday and then they blew a 25 point lead later that night.
Yeah.
Subscribe up, people.
Yeah, Buddy Hield.
Katz got stats.
It was a 2 point game after one of the Buddy threes with like 3 minutes to go. But Jalen Brunson then took over, and it was 7 straight points from him. He had a monster game. Jalen Brunson in 2023 here is killing it. In the Knicks are 5-1 in the calendar year. He leads the Knicks in points per game, assists per game, and he's shooting 52.6% from the floor, 50% from three, and I guess an abysmal 77.5% from the free throw line. But Brunson is he's on one. We should find out the fan votes for the All-Star game. The starters today, I think, will get the second return. So we'll see if those Knicks fans, showed some love to Brunson at least. Can't imagine he's going to be at the top of the Eastern Conference cards, but will he crack the top 10? And he's deserving, man, to be in this game if it is in a reserve role, because he's just played phenomenally for the Knicks.
Yeah, it's one of those odd things that I don't wish Halliburton to be hurt whatsoever, but sometimes when guys get hurt, other guys sneak in as injury replacements. It goes on the resume, and it's all right for everybody. But we're far away from the All-Star game. 5+ weeks.
Yeah, let's hope it's not that serious.
No. And you can.
He lost his shoe on the. It was a weird, it was a weird fall.
Right.
Part of it was because his shoe popped off.
It was a hard fall.
And he tweaked it.
And you can see Buddy Hield got them back into this game, but there is a difference in the first 45 minutes of a game, first 46 minutes of a game, and the last 2 minutes of a game, and getting good possessions. And you could see that play I mentioned there where he chucked up a shot. If Tyrese Halliburton is running the show there, it's a different possession for the Pacers, and maybe they can come all the way back.
Yeah.
But a good show from the Pacers.
And RJ Barrett, like I said, is back. So that meant quickly went to the bench, and he was coming back from a lacerated finger injury RJ Barrett was. But he had 27 points. You know, a very RJ-like line of 9 to 23 from the field. I feel like he does a lot of that. But 8 boards and 4 assists, and he played a lot. And Tibbs is leaning into his guys right now quite a bit. You know, Brunson, 42 minutes. RJ there, 41. And Randall and Mitchell Robinson flirting with 40 minutes, too. Quickly, the only one off the bench really getting any real burn with the 26 minutes. But that's sort of what Tibbs does. That's his type of rotation, baby.
Exactly right.
All right, some other Eastern Conference wins. I'm going to throw 3 games at you. Talk about as many as you would like. Kuzma hit a late 3-pointer to lift the Wizards past the Bulls, 197. We get into that Zach LaVine shot or incident at the end. We had Sadiq Bey and Bogdanovich leading the shorthanded Pistons past the Timberwolves. Bad loss for Minnesota there. Whoa.
Yes.
Fell apart there in the second half. And then Jaylen Brown, talking about all-stars here. I mean, is this guy, I mean, can we cheat and make him a guard? Is he a guard? Is he a forward? 41 points from him to lead the Celtics past the Pelicans. And Boston's put together a little win streak here after losing 3 in a row. Remember, they had that like sort of rough patch there. Really their only rough patch of the season so far. But they're back winning. Yeah, what do you think? What do you want to start with? Do you want to start with that Wizards-Bulls game there?
Sure. Let's not start with the Wolves. Oh, the Wolves.
I don't even want to talk about them.
Well, yeah, that's bad. Well, yeah, there's some notes. But anyway, let's start with Kyle Kuzma hitting the game winner.
What a shot.
It was a crazy shot because they hadn't scored for nearly 4 minutes. And they went up 97-92, 3:51 left in the game, and they only scored 3 points the rest of the way. And it was Kyle Kuzma's game winner.
Yeah.
Luckily, the Bulls also were not scoring in that game. Yeah, a weird one where the Wizards got up big in the third quarter and let the lead dwindle into the fourth until 10 seconds left, Kuz... 97 all. He sees Vooch coming up. Vooch doesn't come up enough. He's got some space. He said in the post-game interview with Megan McPeak, he said, I saw Vooch and I was thinking I was going to go in the lane, but he gave me the space, got my feet right. I like how he said got my feet right, and lined her up.
That was
game
a crazy
over.
Shot.
That was a crazy shot.
I mean, he misses that. Everybody's going, what the hell are you doing? We can get a much better look than that, buddy. Banged it on.
But
man.
Nobody was getting
clutching.
A good shot. The last few minutes, no one was getting a good shot. I was disappointed with Avdija, who 20 boards.
That's a lot of row speed.
Yeah.
Wow. That was amazing that he was doing that. I think he was just tired because on one possession, he had the ball. I've seen him line up some good threes as the number one guy for Israel's national team. He can do it. But I don't know why he didn't. And Monte Morris should have had the ball in his hands. But anyways, really, Kuzma just bailed out this team. There's no doubt about that. Taj Gibson, I thought, was giving it to the Bulls the last few minutes. And then that thing that Zach LaVine did, I'm not sure what happened.
Well, let's talk about that. Yeah, the Bulls, after the Kuzma... Okay, well, before the Kuzma three, Zach LaVine hit
a wild
3-2 where there was little time left on the shot clock, and he had to just chuck it up. It goes in. Then Kuzma hits his crazy three. And so the Bulls have one last chance to tie it up. They call a timeout, so they're advancing the ball. And I think, there's like 5 seconds or so left on the clock. And Zach LaVine attempts a 2-point shot, again, with his team trailing by 3. And it did leave a lot of people baffled. And I know ESPN had the
Vooch
clip
especially.
Up. Yeah, Vooch was like, what are you doing?
Hands out.
But
what's
like,
up?
In Zach LaVine's defense, he thought the Wizards were fouling because DeLon Wright did foul him. So he's thinking, I'm fouled. I might as well go up, see if we can get the 3-point play here. Goad the referees into that. And instead, nothing was called, and you're just left with Zach LaVine taking a very weird-looking jump shot inside the 3-point line. And so that's what happened. And
yeah.
I guess even
DeLon Wright said, I fouled you. Rodney Mott said, you got fouled.
I missed that one, yeah. Yeah.
Still take a 3-pointer.
Yeah.
You need a 3 there. I understand the thinking of it.
The Wizards had a foul to give, I believe, too.
Yeah, exactly. So they were doing the classic, we're up 3, we're fouling, so you're going to have to reset. I mean, who knows how much time would actually went off the clock. They might have done it again, sent him to the line to shoot free throws. But you needed a 3-pointer there. And it was in the exact same spot where LaVine had just hit that one where the shot clock was running down. He's shooting like 50% from 3 for the last month.
Right.
Let it fly. But it'll be cool for the Bulls to get their 4th last 2-minute report coming back saying, hey, we messed it up at the end there.
That's
second tough. One against the Wizards, 2 against the Cavs.
Mm.
This one, though, did not cost them the game like
right,
the previous
right,
three.
Right, right, right. It still would have been in a tough position to win this game. But,
they got pounded by 20 points in the fourth. In the third quarter.
Yeah,
and
that was the game.
That was the game. Nobody scoring at the end. And when you're inbounding with 5 seconds left, There's not enough time to go for a two, foul, and come back.
Agree.
You shoot the three. Mm-hmm. But it did end in Avdija's 20th rebound. So that's cool.
Yep.
That's very cool. Very, very cool. And I tweeted this out this morning because I was like, when this guy plays, it feels like they win a lot, and he missed a good chunk of the year. But DeLon Wright is back for the Wizards. Remember, he started the year. I was talking about him on a podcast here. I was like, this guy's one of the most underrated defensive players in the league, and he really, really helps. They won three out of their first four games, the Wizards did, and then he got injured, and he was gone for a long time. He's been back for, like, I don't know what it is, like, ballpark 10 games. And the Wizards have won more than they've lost. He helps, man, off the bench, and he was hitting the floor last night. I think it's contagious with those Wizards guys, too, especially when Beal and Porzingis weren't playing. There was one instance, thank you, late in the game where, like, everybody was hitting the floor. Even the Bulls guys, I mean, it was, like, five bodies on the floor. But DeLon Wright, the Wizards are 9-4 when he's out there. Man.
This is the MVP table?
This guy's at the MVP table, yeah. No, he's really instrumental to their defense and giving them a little intensity on that end. But, yeah, weird ending for sure. Hell of a shot from Kuz, who had some fresh ink on the back of his arm. He had the saran wrap on there, the plastic wrap.
Yeah, oh, wow. He's literally playing with plastic on his arm. I saw that.
Yeah, a bunch of tattoo artists, because I tweeted it out, were like, you shouldn't be playing with a, you know, a fresh tattoo because of sweat and stuff like that. I was like, okay, fair, but...
I would have loved to hear that conversation with Kyle Kuzma and Wes Unseld Jr. Hey, got a set tonight. Fresh ink. I got a rocket ship tattooed on my shoulder.
Yeah, I don't know what the tat was. I mean, he's got a lot, so he added to the sleeve there. But anyway, it worked out in the end. You want to talk about the Wolves falling apart real quick here? You got some notes?
Well, they've had won four in a row, and I think they just said, that's enough. That's good. Four is good enough. They didn't fight hard enough. But Anthony Edwards is battling through some injuries, and I think we always highlight guys that are sitting out. What the heck is going on? Stars sitting out in the NBA. Should highlight a guy that's played in every single game this season. He is battling through left hip soreness. He was actually ruled out of this game. He left the game. Ruled out. Then they said, nah, he wants to play. He's coming back in. So I just wanted to highlight that, even though an abysmal effort overall. They were up in the second quarter, gave it all back to the Pistons, and they are the fourth worst third quarter team in the NBA this season. They lost the third by 13. That's where you can get the Wolves. They are like our Hawks here in Atlanta. They're just waving. They wave here. They wave there. They wave in the wind. They're good sometimes.
Oh, like a wacky inflatable.
Yeah, they just go with the wind. Sometimes we feel like it. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we feel like it. Sometimes we don't. They could have beat this Pistons team, but they didn't. They were up big again. Anyway, they had won four in a row, so it's hard to really, really harp on them. But that third quarter thing, they lost by lost to the Pistons a few games, or the time they played the Pistons earlier in the week by 14 in the third quarter. Then they did it again. Mm-hmm. So it's tough to
watch.
The
Wolves have had some bad losses, like to bad teams this year, and a big part of it is like
they've lost to Detroit focus. Twice, haven't they?
Yeah, I think they maybe lost to the Spurs too, and maybe a Hornet? I don't know. There's a couple other bad teams in there.
They are the Hawks.
As for the Celtics, just to, again, show a little love to Jaylen Brown, 41 points and 12 boards. I know 41 points, like, no one cares anymore, but still, what a game. And he shot 15 of 21 from the field. He is the first Celtic to have a 40-point, 10-rebound game with 70% shooting from the field since Larry Bird.
Wow.
1990, wow. Larry Bird. Yeah. I mean, That's a high percentage.
It's a high percentage.
For a 40-point game to go with the 10-plus rebounds. But, yeah, again, like I said, they've won 8 of their last 10. Celtics are – they're fine. After we had that one week, we were like, oh, what's wrong? I mean, my God. When you got Brown and Tatum on your team that can put up 70 to 80 points, it's like that's a good head start against other teams. Your two superstars, your two all-stars.
Jaylen Brown's averaging 27 a game and shooting basically 50% from the field. And he's the clear number two on the Celtics. Like, he's being overshadowed how good his season is because Tatum is such a good player. He's just relentless going to the hoop. Jaylen Brown is. Yeah. So, you know, on the YouTube thumbnail, we've got Jaylen versus Jaylen on there. Mm-hmm. Jaylen Brown should start the All-Star game over Jaylen Brunson.
Yeah, he plays enough to me at the shooting guard. I know he does.
He's considered a guard as well on the vote.
There you go. It should be him. A Halliburton, over a Brunson. It should be him and Mitchell.
Ain't mad about that.
No?
Ain't mad about that.
It will be weird, I will say, if Jaylen Brown starts the All-Star game and Jason Tatum does not because of KD, Giannis, and Embiid, which is in play. That would be weird. But
Yeah.
Possible.
It's true. I hope we do see the Ys play together, and that's Jason with a Y and Jalen with the Y play together out there. I like calling them the Ys because why is there a Y in each of their names? I guess their parents have reasons.
I like it.
That's cool. Nothing wrong with that. One note about the Celtics. After starting his first game of the season, last game, Robert Williams sat out this entire game. They are preserving him for the postseason because he got injured last year in the playoffs and wasn't right. And they just want him fresh for 2 full months. They are really they just want that rim protection in the playoffs for 2 full months. Will he play tonight against the Brooklyn Nets? It's possible. I don't know. You never know, but they're so good with or without him. They haven't played with him for a chunk this season. They're that good. And on the injury front, on the Pelican side, since Zion went out, they've lost to the Nets, Mavericks, and Celtics, and they beat the Wizards. They've got a tough schedule. They're fighting. CJ McCollum is fighting. When is Brandon Ingram going to come back?
I know. I thought like a week and a half ago it was like, he's playing tonight.
Yeah. It seemed like he's right there.
And then it was like, suddenly we haven't seen him.
He's been out 7 weeks. He's out with a toe injury.
Yeah.
7 weeks.
Yeah. He hasn't played since Black Friday. I looked it up. Wow. was he going for a door crasher really hard? Going for a TV really
sprained
hard?
His toe sprained his toe?
Re-injured his toe? Yeah. Trying to get a big screen? Is that what you're saying? Is that what happened?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
You never know.
They could use him back at this point. CJ's doing all he can there offensively.
Yeah. And it's tough. It's tough when you're in the West. They are still floating there at the third spot, I believe, the third seed. They got a couple games ahead of the Kings.
That's right. Kings are in fourth. Let's let's slip them in here. Yeah. The other games from last night, the Western Conference wins. John Morant scored 38 in his return as the streaking Grizzlies. They topped the Spurs. It got a little close, but the Grizz pulled it out. Jokic and the Nuggets just crushed the Suns, 126-97. Their 12th straight home win there in the Mile High City. And Sabonis nearly had a triple-double. Kings topped the very bad Rockets. And, they are fourth in the Western Conference, the Sacramento Kings, and it's nearly MLK Day. any thoughts on either of those games there, TK?
The things that I noticed from this game is that John Morant had another massive dunk on Jakob Poeltl.
Yeah, thrunk, really, but yeah.
Kind of a thrunk.
Yeah.
And then in the post-game interview, he said Jakob Poeltl didn't get the memo. Started laughing about it. But he's also a great shot blocker, so I knew I had to finish with authority when I was in there.
Okay.
That was very funny to me. Jakob Poeltl turned into a little bit of an Aaron Baines, just a guy that gets dunked on a lot. You got to challenge shots. I think he had 5 blocks last night.
Awesome.
So, you know, he was there at the rim.
Yeah.
The ones that get through, though, they're excited. So that was pretty cool. And then I also saw in the Rockets-Kings game that Alperen Şengün became the youngest center to ever have a triple-double.
He had a 10-10-10, didn't he?
A pure 10-10-10. Yeah. Youngest center to have a triple-double. That's how you cherry pick, baby. That's a good one. That was a great cherry pick stat.
Any thoughts on these games?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of other centers that could have done it. I guess Wilt wasn't doing it at his age. How old is Şengün exactly?
He is a youngster. He might still be 20.
20.
Yeah, 20. Yeah.
That's young.
Probably beat somebody by a few days. Beat a center by a few days out there. The Ja Morant dunk. Yeah, Jakob gets caught. It's awesome to watch in slow motion because he has Jakob Poeltl under the rim and he just knows he can jump way faster than Poeltl. They're both on the floor and he just decides, I am going to skyrocket. And Poeltl has no chance when he got him under there. So, yeah, Poeltl's getting dunked on. Poeltl, in a lot of trade rumors, two first-round picks is the asking price.
Whoa.
It's too much.
I mean, I love me some Poeltl, but wow. But
yeah, that's the asking price. But that's what's actually going around. Obviously, it's 4 weeks today. That price will go down likely to one first-round pick at some point. But ask high. Ask high, and we shall see.
Okay. And I like this from Mike Brown, Kings coach. Sabonis, like I said, nearly a triple-double. 25-14, he had 9 assists, so 1 assist shy. De'Aaron Fox, 24-9. Brown, just talking about this game, this is how you slip this in there. This is how you get your guys into the All-Star team. It starts with our two All-Stars. That's right. You don't even say their names. All-Stars. You just say, we got our two All-Stars. Sabonis and Fox, will they both be there? We're going to find out soon enough, couple weeks. But let's get those fan returns out, NBA. We could slip them into a C block here or something like that. If you release them now, you never know. Otherwise, we'll talk about them on the Drop Podcast tomorrow. All right, let's take our first break.
Towns was the previous record holder of the youngest center to have a triple-double.
Okay, nice.
By how much did Şengün get him?
I don't know. This report I'm reading on a Turkish website. It's in English, so I can read it.
Okay, good.
Doesn't give the dates.
He just got him.
Yeah.
He's younger.
Him. He's younger.
All right. We'll take our first break. When we come back, we're going to hit the beach to answer some of your questions. Don't go anywhere.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
All right, here in the Classic Factory, thanks again to everybody joining us live on YouTube. Hit the like button. Take a sec. Do it. Hit the thumbs up and make sure you've subscribed so we can get to 60K by the All-Star weekend. But let's hit the beach. Keep sending in your questions, guys. You can drop them in the YouTube comments. You can tweet them in, email them in. You can mail them in. As we've proven, mail, still real. Our first one, though, was by way of Twitter. A lot of these coming from our Twitter peeps. From SlamFam, what's the deal with Trae Young? Beef with coaches and teammates, plus the trade demand speculation? I don't think he's a player to carry a team on his own for a couple of reasons, but he can collaboratively work with others in a winning system. Is he a star? Is he problematic? Slam Fam wants to know about Trae Young. Didn't play in last night's game. I think we forgot to mention that. Right. I guess he had a sick non-COVID illness. Maybe he had the flu or something. Wasn't feeling good. But anyway, Trae Young. Not everyone's favorite player, I would say, right now. Right? I feel like Trae Young's stock is very, very low of the public opinion.
There's bad press out there. The fighting with the coach didn't come to that game that night. But SlamFam asks, can he collaboratively work with others in a winning system? I think the answer is yes. He is a star. I know we want to point to one thing. We love doing it. I love doing it. Cause, effect. What's the thing that's taken them down a notch since they made the conference finals? I don't think you can point to one thing. Maybe they rose a little too high. Maybe they won a playoff series in year number three for him against the Knicks where he's bowing in front of everybody. And then the Sixers self-destructed and they make the conference finals. And maybe it happened a little too quickly. And maybe he just doesn't pull guys together enough. Maybe there wasn't a vet in that room to bring them along from year three to year four for Trae Young, because, you know, it's him and John Collins essentially that have been there since the beginning, and Clint Capella, who's not necessarily the leader. And it's a bunch of young guys that have butted heads a lot, and they didn't have a coach to bring them along. There's just, I don't know, I'm pointing to all these things. The fact is, he's a great player, and he just hasn't made himself a superstar quite yet. Superstar brings it from year to year, brings it on the defensive end, and that hasn't happened quite yet. It's worry time in Atlanta, that's for sure. They traded a bunch of picks for DeJounte Murray. It's not working out. He's only signed until the end of next year. They've rejigged the front office a ton because maybe he likes Landry Fields better. Maybe because they have to go in another direction real damn quick. But it shouldn't be all be on Trae Young. I know we like sitting here on Twitter like Slam Fam and speculating. But it's on the entire team as well. DeJounte Murray has flown under the radar completely this season. The guy is a star himself and hasn't been working out. But I know we want to point to one guy and say this guy's done it. he should be doing it every year. He should be bringing. Listen,
but he's having
the
a bad, bad year.
He's having a bad year.
I mean, he's having arguably the worst season of his career here. I know he still gets his points, still gets his assists, but efficiently wise, it's bad. He's shooting 41%, 42% from the floor, 31% from three.
Yeah,
Trey. Yeah, I mean, that's his thing. It's obviously not defense.
And the last thing I will say is, as we see that, as we see those numbers come down here in year five for him. Donovan Mitchell lasted 5 years in Utah before things just went bad. And Mitchell was traded, and Rudy Gobert was traded. They may have peaked in 21 in their current form. Not to say the trade's going to be dealt, but there has to be a change in the locker room. The locker room is the thing that's not right, I guess is what I'm getting down to. It's not Trae Young's ability. I think there's something going on with that locker room, like there was with the Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert. They're just not a cohesive unit, not working hard enough, and that's why it's fun to say Trae Young just isn't good enough, isn't a leader. But I think it's just a whole thing that we can't even
But you're sort of saying that, and that's fine. I mean, are you not? You keep pointing out like this locker room, that you know the butting of the heads. I mean, he's the superstar in the team, and I mean that's a part of your. That's part of the job description of being a superstar, I think we'd agree, right?
Yeah, but sometimes things just go sour in a locker room just can't be reborn. So
can't be saved.
Yeah.
Okay. TBD. Well, what do you think about Trae Young and the season he's had and obviously the Hawks have had?
I think that the lack of buy-in for the little things probably hurts him from a leadership perspective. He doesn't really play off ball when that is something that people thought was going to happen with DeJounte Murray coming over and taking a bigger chunk of possessions. He's still not really given much of an effort on defense. He wants to score, and he wants to get assists by passing if he's completely covered. And I don't know. It's probably just wearing on people, considering they went to the conference finals last year, didn't live up to expectations. This year, expectations probably even higher, and they're coming even shorter than they were the previous season. So I don't know. It just it feels like there are a lot of fingers pointed in other directions and a lot of finger pointing going around with the Hawks. So I agree with you, Tass, that there are problems in the locker room. You hope that your best player squashes that kind of stuff and is like, who cares who the coach is? I'm the star here.
Right.
Let's play hard. Let's play every single game. Let's move the ball. Let's buy in and everybody play team basketball.
Yeah. Maybe he's not the type of guy to bring the rest along. Like Donovan Mitchell in Utah. Maybe he had to go to a great locker room, a great situation, and he can be propped up. But it ain't happening right now.
Let's get to our next one.
From Eric Kuhn. We had plenty of 50-point games and many 20-rebound games.
That's a lot of roasted beef.
Yes, it is. But we've only had one 20-assist game thanks to James Harden.
Hmm.
Who would you pick to have the next 20-assist game? Haliburton? Luka? CP3? Joker? LaMelo? Who you got from Eric Kuhn?
Yeah, this was a great question because I was like, wow, we've only had one 20-assist game. But, I mean, much more difficult than a 20-rebound game. I mean, we'd all agree with that. A part of the assists is you need the guys you're passing the ball to hit a whole lot of shots. And I think when you get a 20-assist game, you need some cheap ones too, right? I mean, the variety of here, pass it to you, and you splash a three because you got a great shooter beside you or the defense you're playing against sucks and they're just leaving guys wide open. Only four guys in the league average over 8 assists per game. Haliburton, 10.2. Trae Young, I mean, he still gets a ton of assists, 9.8. Jokic at 9.7. And then Luka there at 8.7. So you could pick one of those four guys. I think those would be smart picks, you know, just in terms of their averages. Like, Haliburton makes sense. Like, could he have a 20-assist game here? Yeah, it could happen. But I'm going to go with Darius Garland. His career high for assists in a game is 19. He did it last season. His season high is 12. Obviously, it's a little different there with Mitchell. That came in an overtime win against the Celtics in early November. But I think I like a Garland here because, again, I want like five or six that I'm just like passing it in our first initial action in the offense and a shooter in the corner knocks it down. I need a bunch of those. Need some lob ones and stuff like that. Need some transition ones. So put me down for a random Darius Garland for a 20-assist game.
19.
That's my reach here.
Yeah, 19.
Yeah.
Didn't remember that.
Yeah, it's a lot of assists.
Hopefully he has it in his hands enough. I guess that would be the only thing.
Yeah.
Because Mitchell has it in his hands so much. All right, Trey, what do you got? 20-assist game.
I think it's going to be James Harden. I think he'll be the next one to do it. There have been 7 games this season with more than 15 assists, so 16 or more. James Harden has 3 of them. He just doesn't qualify for the leaderboards. Right now, he's averaging 11 assists per game, 21 points per game. He deserves some all-star buzz, to be quite honest. Yeah. James Harden does. He's played four fewer games than Joel Embiid, so he's been just as big of a part of the Sixers' success recently as Harden or as Embiid has been. So I think Harden will be the guy. Jokic and Doncic, they could certainly do it, but that's just kind of if their shooters are hot, and that happens for both of those teams. My off-the-board pick would be Marcus Smart. Celtics are a team who can get super hot from three. He's a pretty creative passer. But looking back at this, we've been talking lately a little bit about unbreakable records. Scott Skiles, 30 assists. Whew. That one is pretty high on the list. Rondo had 25 in 2017, and that's really the only thing close in the 2000s. Rondo had another 24 assist game, but the way they count assists, it's changed a little bit, I do believe. Yeah. 227 times ever a player has had 20 assists in the regular season. That's not very often.
No, 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 no. Just looked up Marcus Smart's career high assists. He had 15 this season. That's his career high, so that's a good pick. Mm-hmm. Makes some sense there, but Harden is, if I'm betting on this, to have the next one at least, I would go Harden.
Yeah, and you want to, like Scott Skiles, you want a guy who has the ball all the time, and Harden has the ball all the time. Yeah. I think that's
and he's going to pick and roll with Embiid. There's going to be a million points that he's going to kick to corners. Hope, you know, Tobias Harris knocks down a couple. Yeah. Couple in transition to Maxey streaking ahead. Yeah, I mean, that's why. He's just a great playmaker. He's incredible. He's one of the best ever, if we're being completely honest, at playmaking, I think, the way he passes.
And that's a slight difference, I think, than the 90s. Other guys bring up the ball a little bit more. Then there used to just be one point guard, one guy brings
up because like
ball.
Three guys on the floor with you, they couldn't even dribble.
Yeah,
that's true.
A lot more
33?
Skills.
33? Is that what, 30? What was 30. 30? 30. 30. Yeah,
yep. flat 30.
Oh my god, no, that's tough.
I'll throw another guy in there. Okay. Definitely not as likely as a Jokic or Luka, but I think Jimmy Butler could do it because like Giannis yesterday, I think Jimmy Butler could get a little peeved at times and just say, I'm not shooting tonight. He'd be the kind of guy to say, I'm not shooting one bit. Is this offense going to get going one day without me? Do I have to save the world? So he'll just pass every – he could go a game because Jimmy likes to do these wild things where he shoots like zero times. I was going to say five times, but I think to be – to have the notoriety of being the guy that shoots zero times would be something that Jimmy would strive for.
The problem is the Heat are like one of the worst offenses in the league and can't hit threes for the most part.
Well, that could
low percentage.
That could push him to say, I'm pissed. Let's go. I don't want to bail this team out all the time. And then he could get a new nickname. Jimmy gets assists instead of Jimmy gets buckets.
What do we call 20 assists? Applesauce, right?
Applesauce.
Yeah. Only Harden has applesauce? This season, at least? Wow. Let's hear from you out there in the stream team. Everybody listening later, who's your bet? Look into your crystal ball. Who's getting the next 20-assist game? Or does it even happen for the rest of the season? Wow. Next one here from Professor K. What team will move up or down the farthest in the standings by the end of the season? So we're looking at it right now, TK. Who do you think, where they are currently here, January 12th, by the end of the year, by the end of the regular season, has dropped or risen the most spots? This is a very difficult question.
Yeah. There's a lot of candidates out there, aren't there? 30 candidates, to be quite honest. I think the Lakers are going to rise. I do. They've been playing pretty decent basketball. Anthony Davis will be healthy for a chunk of the season at some point again. Theoretically, they could make a move. And I think that teams like Utah, maybe Portland will turn into sellers as we get closer and closer to the deadline, which leaves some spots in the top 10 seeds of the Western Conference. So I think LA has a chance. And we've talked a little bit about how the Warriors should be poised to make a run in the second half of the season, getting Curry back, getting Wiggins back, and hopefully giving a little bit more effort on the road. So a couple of championship caliber teams, or recent champions, at least, in the Lakers and Warriors, I think, should be rising.
I mean, Lakers is a strong pick. They're 4.5 games back from those Kings in the fourth seed in the Western Conference. They're currently 11th, 12th, the Lakers are. So they could, 2 good weeks of basketball there, I guess, jump up a whole lot. But that's if you believe they can get AD back, everybody stays healthy, and they can continue to play at the level they are.
The Lakers are the pick. I totally agree, especially with LeBron James going into All-Star weekend here, where he should pass Kareem Abdul-Jabbar before All-Star weekend. He's going to have a good month.
Do you think that's going to happen before All-Star weekend still?
He's got to go for it. I think he would like to have All-Star Weekend be about LeBron James. That's why he's going to do it on the game before All-Star Weekend against the Pelicans. I think that's what will happen. And Anthony Davis could come back too. Oh, yeah, he's pretty good. They're playing hard, and they've got great players when they play. So considering the standings and how much they could rise, as you pointed out, they're just so tight. That's the pick for Professor K's question.
Yeah. It's tough to, like, convince yourself some of those middling teams in the East could, like, really jump up to sort of the top of the Eastern Conference. Like, I can't see it. I'm, like, really talking, like, Hawks, Bulls, Raps, Wiz. Like, no. I mean, maybe you can convince yourself the Miami Heat could do that. They're 22-20. Sure. Maybe. But I think the Lakers or Warriors makes the most sense for this pick. And then it's also difficult then to pick one of the top teams and go, well, who's going to suck here in the final couple months? Like, I don't know.
The Pacers are dropping. That high is not as high.
The Knicks jumped over them last night there in terms of the their season series. They're tied 23-19, but they took both games against the Pacers.
The tiebreaker could be big.
Oh, could be very big.
Right now, the tiebreaker would give the Knicks the sixth seed and a real playoff spot and push the Pacers into the play-in. Mm. Tiebreakers in January.
What else we got?
All right, next one from Eric Schultz. Is Dwayne Dedman's Theragun, the massage gun, if you don't know what a Theragun is, the funniest thing anyone's ever thrown at work? Yeah, he tossed it on the floor.
He got a game, by the way.
Good.
Yeah.
I think that's right.
Suspension. Sure.
So what's the strangest thing you've thrown / seen at one of your former jobs? So,
and how much does a Theragun weigh? We had really answered to the bottom of that, remember?
Yeah. They gotta have dimensions on their website.
I mean, you said 20 pounds,
okay,
I think,
okay,
and everybody was like, that's probably too much.
You're right. It's a thick handle, but it's probably not that heavy. It's only, I thought it was more than $600. I thought it was more than that. That's the pro. The pro is $600. Anyways, I didn't read the email correctly. I omitted a word because I thought it was an extra word. But you've thrown / seen thrown.
Yeah.
Seen thrown. I said you've seen. But anyway, it doesn't matter. Have you seen somebody throw something as big as a Theragun?
Well, that's what I wanted to get. As big as a Theragun?
That's big.
No, it's a good size. I've told both of these stories before, so I don't want to, like, bore everyone, but, like, the two things I've seen thrown at my previous jobs were, one, when I worked in a restaurant as a dishwasher, a saucepan got chucked at the back of my head.
Mm. Ooh,
and the kitchen
up.
Stopped. It was from the main chef, like, it was the head chef, and it was like, whoa. He just clocked this kid in the back of the head. Like, what's this kid going to do? And, like, you know, play it cool, you know. I had a talk with him later. I've told that story before. Anyway, so a saucepan to the back of the head. And then the other thing is when I worked on a garlic farm for a summer, me and my buddy Kieran, shout out to my buddy Kieran, we would like, clip the roots off of the garlic. And instead of, like, just putting them in a basket beside us, we, like, of course, we're both basketball fans, like, set up baskets all over the place. And just chuck garlic all day. Cut and chuck, you know, keep score. Like, far away. Like, we're on a farm. Like, we were shooting. Like it was dumb. We're ruining the garlic, probably. Like, bruising it, I guess, a little bit and stuff.
Oh, you were throwing the straight-up garlic
cloves.
Yeah.
I thought you meant the leftovers.
No, the bulbs. We're throwing bulbs out there.
You're wild, man.
Yeah, man. It was fun.
Just ruining the garlic. That sucks.
I mean, I don't know. You can almost argue it maybe brought the flavor out more.
You have to release the Allison.
Yeah, that's right. So
absolutely.
Those
got
are
to.
My two answers, like I've shared before on this podcast.
Well, I think you might be mistaken, Skeets.
What?
We're nearing our 17-year anniversary. Yeah. All stories have been told, but
yes,
but that saucepan story,
oh,
JD.
Yeah.
I don't think that.
Guaranteed.
No.
Guaranteed.
I don't think so.
That
the saucepan throw.
I bet you I've told that story twice before on our podcast. Yes.
I know you call yourself the best dishwasher in the world going back to your restaurant days, but I don't think you've.
Somebody in the stream team let me know. I told that story not too long ago, like in the last couple years, for another rapid fire answer. I told the whole story too about how awkward it was. It went like dead quiet. And then I ended up talking to the chef like way later that night. He was in his office. The guy was an asshole, right? Mm. Obviously. And he called me in. He's like, "Hey, man, you gonna say anything about getting hit with the pan?" Like, he apologized, sort of. Like, hours. He didn't apologize in the kitchen at the time. But
I've shared that story before. Tempers are too flared. You can't apologize then.
No.
Not in the kitchen. You gotta get back to it. Yeah. My answer is similar. I had one of those big, you know, like a meat tenderizer with the big, like like a Thor hammer.
Yeah.
But I was a busboy in high school at a family-run place.
Yeah.
And the mom who owned the restaurant tenderizing, she was in an argument with her son, mm-hmm. who was a manager of the place, chucked it right at him. He Ooh. Missed it, and I had a big thing of bus, like a bus pin full of dishes and stuff, whizzed right in front of my face and hit the cooler behind, like the walk-in cooler, dented the cooler, Whoa. Like the door of the cooler, and I quit the next day. But it was just like no apology for me either.
Oh, jeez.
And I had nothing to do with it, but it was just like almost took my head off with one of those things.
Yeah, man. Kitchens, man. They're crazy. Wild. The bear, man. It's true.
Mm. Yeah, Carmi never apologized. That's right. He just taught her.
It's nuts, man. Yep. What do you got then?
I just recently got in a huge fight at a Waffle House, threw a chair at one of the cooks. She handled it no problem. I was impressed.
That was you in that cook.
Yeah, that was me.
Wow.
Yeah. When I don't get my hash browns, when I ask for them covered and they come back smothered, I'm ready to rage.
Yeah. Yeah, those people that work at Waffle House, man, they're incredible.
Oh yeah. Oh
my God. You gotta be ready. You like that's gotta be a part of your training, right? Like jujitsu and
maybe your two people that threw stuff at you were testing you to see if you could handle a Waffle House right. kitchen. Right. They're like, nope, softies.
Right. Do you have an answer, previous job, that you saw something crazy thrown or maybe you threw even?
Retail, back in Canada, sport check days, selling shoes. We had try-on socks for people who didn't have socks.
Yeah, that wanted to try on
shoes. Socks. So we had drawers of them. When you're selling a shoe, you have a customer that didn't have a pair of socks. You'd yell over, "Hey, Tass, throw me a pair of socks."
Oh, wow. Did they ever get washed, those socks?
No.
Oh, wow.
The answer is no. They're like some good soul took them home once, I do believe.
No pun intended.
Yeah, nice pun.
Very nice. Very nice unintended pun. Once every couple years, someone would just say, "All right, I'll do it." But anyway,
wash them.
Yeah, wash them. So anyway, somebody would ask, "Hey, Tess, throw me socks." What we would always do, always, everybody would pull out two pairs of socks. They'd throw one up way into the air, like so you'd have to look up 12 feet to look at it, and then you pop them with the other one.
That's fun.
Right in the face, right in the chest. That's fun. That's how you get your aggression out, as opposed to throwing a saucepan or a tenderizer.
Yeah, that's a lot more play. I'd rather be hit with that. Yeah.
Used,
even if they were used socks. I don't like that part of it, but...
Yeah, they're all used.
Unless they're like the socks were to come undone in the air and like land on your head, like on your face, that wouldn't be good.
No.
Then I would rather get hit with a saucepan to the back of the head. But
was there sauce in the pan?
I mean, I don't. Yeah, probably. He had just used it.
Just curious.
Yeah.
More than anything.
Yeah. I think he picked it up with like the tongs, from what I was told.
What?
So it was hot?
What?
Yeah. I mean, there was a hole on... Man, I have told this story many times.
I have never heard this
story.
You
don't listen to me.
That's also true. That is very true.
There was a big argument going on between the kitchen and the front of the restaurant, like the waiters and stuff. It was... I don't know what was happening. It was like a fairly nice restaurant for Stratford. And, you know, they were going at it. Like, tempers were obviously flaring. And then I think he used his tongs and, like... in a fit of rage, whipped it over. I'm on sort of the other side of the kitchen. It's not huge, though. And it went sailing past people on the line and then, bang, hit me in the back of the head. Yeah.
And you were on his team. He wasn't throwing it
at you. I was on
his
team.
Yeah.
That was the crazy part. And that's why everybody just stopped. Like, whoa, what has he got to do with it? This guy's the greatest dishwasher we've ever had. We can't lose this guy. This guy. It's spotless in here. Final one.
I can't imagine you as a dishwasher.
Oh,
so fastidious.
Love that job.
Oh, it's the best job in a restaurant, for sure.
So good.
You don't have to deal with anything else.
Yeah, exactly. For the most part. Only thing is, in another kitchen, I hated this guy. His name was Philip. I almost said something I shouldn't. Anyway, I hated him. He would always get on us like they want their plates cold, right, for desserts.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's like if we don't have enough plates in this damn restaurant, then like I can't take these hot plates out of the dishwasher. I'll get them in the freezer, but man, it's got to play its part. We need they got to cool down, man. I don't know what you want me to do. Buy more plates was the answer.
Yeah, that's
always
on the owner.
Yeah,
that's on the owner.
Yeah, Philip, slob that guy. Ugh. I would have never wanted to eat his food. It's like sweat and like spit probably is falling in food left and right.
Could he make a good slobby Phil?
Sloppy Joe?
Yeah. Didn't work out.
Sloppy Phil. That's
a sloppy Phil.
All right, final one. Reach. Final one.
No, it's good.
Joshua really Fletcher, good. How many wedgies y'all getting in a pickup run in a season, which is like a year, according to Joshua? How do you get them down? Another ball, broom, ladder, hops. My regular run meets twice a week. And I vaguely remember about 3 wedgies in 1 full year. But, Trey, do you have an answer to this?
Seems kind of accurate to me.
Yeah,
3 to 5, maybe, if you're having a sticky year. how do you get it down? Always a ball chuck, I think. Because I'm never volunteering to be the guy to jump up there and get it.
There will be some people in our run that usually try, and we got a couple of guys that can go get it, but
I always make like I'm going to get my phone to take a picture of it.
So you don't have to do
it. This guy loves wedgies. We don't want to interrupt him. Yeah, he's the tallest guy out here. It would be simplest for him to get it, but they don't know how weak my fingers are.
I want to know if this includes, like, is this just game wedgies? Because I feel like more wedgies occur when people are warming up and we're shooting around.
Agreed. Yeah.
Not a lot in the games that I can remember. Maybe
the shooting's too good out there.
Yeah, we're too good. Or we're too bad that we don't even come close to missing. Or come close to, like, getting it close to going in. That sort of makes sense.
You're right. Yeah.
Yeah, I think 2 or 3 sounds right.
Sounds right.
Yeah. And no ladder, though.
No ladder? That would be really funny.
Usually there's
get
another
a cherry
ball.
Picker. Hold on, B-Rose. I got it. Well, just a second here.
Pop it out. Come on down. You got to drive it all the way back to the corner. Great questions, guys. A lot of fun. Keep sending them in. NoDunks@TheAthletic.com. Tweet them in @NoDunksInc. Your NBA cues, your NBA adjacent cues. We love them all. We're going to take one more break. When we come back, pick them results and tweet of the night.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day, or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
All right, back with your boys here. The stream team is saying that I may have told that story before. 12% chance I told that kitchen story before. And somebody else said I did. I think I did, guys. We got to go check the tapes. Also, chucking garlic, a great term we were talking about during the break. Do we think it should be applied to basketball? That guy's chucking garlic. A baseball pitcher? He's chucking garlic. A football quarterback? He's really chucking garlic out there today. And is it positive or negative? Like, garlic is stinky. Like, I reeked when I worked on that garlic farm. I mean, I had to burn my clothes at the end of the summer. So it's like, it sort of works both ways. Like, oh, he's really chucking garlic today, but that guy was chucking garlic. Right? I don't know.
Yeah.
It all works.
Yeah. It sounds like something a pitcher would be throwing like cheese or something stanky. The good stuff.
Yeah, okay. Oh, no. The good stuff.
Right? I think it's good too. Yeah. I think it's any extremely fast throw in any sport. Like you throw a 106 mile an hour fastball, you're chucking garlic.
Okay.
You throw a 15 yard out right on the numbers.
Oh, so no, I think it's off speed.
More funky. Yeah, funky.
Funky, yeah.
Funky. Okay, okay. Even
throwing junk. Okay. Throwing junk as a pitcher.
Yeah, or jumping quarterback. Funky. Quarterback like a little Mahomes, like a underhand toss. Oh, he's chucking garlic. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Unorthodox.
Yeah, maybe he throws a 30-foot ball way up in the air, like a moonshot.
Sure, okay.
You know, something different.
Hey, we got something here with chucking garlic.
That's good.
Hold on, the NFL Pro Bowl. You shared their skills competition?
Yeah, let's...
Dodgeball. They're playing Chuck and Garlic.
Chuck and Garlic?
Yeah. New event, Chuck and Garlic. It's not quite the NHL skills challenge, but it looks all right.
They've done this before, though. Like they've had a couple of these events. They've played dodgeball before.
Dodgeball. What else do they got? Precision passing.
Okay.
Longest drive of a golf ball.
They're golfing.
Best catch? Similar to the dunk contest?
Yeah.
Oh, what?
That's cool. I mean, guys are making like one-handed catches all the time now in game. And then whatever a gridiron gauntlet race is. Just fast guys.
Sounds like American Gladiators. Yeah.
Sick. Nitro?
Best catch. That's a cool one.
Wow.
I wonder who's going to be chucking garlic to those receivers out there.
Yeah. It'd be fun. All right, pick 'em results last night. It was the Bucks-Hawks game. Milwaukee, they were favored by 1.5 points. They covered in the end, even though they gave that big lead all up, and then they took care of business, covered easily, actually. So that's a win for me and Trey. I'm 3-5. Trey, 6-2. Tass, with the L, you had Atlanta, so you're 3-5. We're tied right now, Tassie. Where are we going tonight?
Well, tonight's game is basically brought to you by Magic Johnson. The only reason I picked this game was because Magic Johnson tweeted yesterday. As of today, Wednesday, January 11th, the Brooklyn Nets are the biggest threat to the Boston Celtics going to the NBA Finals.
Weird timing with this tweet, Magic.
Yeah, but he's 63. So you're saying maybe he should have tweeted it when the Nets were hot?
Well, maybe, yeah, like, it makes more sense.
He's 63.
Like, Kevin Durant just got injured.
Things happen a little slower
when
you're 63. So I'm fine with it. And he's not on social media all the time, I'm guessing. So it's good. Good for him. He's healthy.
Oh, and these two teams play tonight.
That's right. First game on TNT. Maybe it's timed perfectly, Skeets. 1-2 in the East. So, Magic, technically correct. Boston Celtics going into Brooklyn, who are getting 2.5 points at home, so they can lose by 2 and still cover. Skeets, you think that will happen or they'll win outright? Well, we think, Trey and I, Boston will take care of business, 3 or more.
I got to trust Magic Johnson on this one. if he's right, then they should at least cover with a couple points to play at home.
Right.
On TNT. You know, no KD, but Kyrie, revenge game? Does Kyrie care about such things?
Yeah.
Take it out on those Beantown boys.
He's going to have his jersey hanging from the rafters there. Boston.
I saw the commercial, yes.
We talked about risers and fallers, beach stepping. The Nets are a team to watch here with Kevin Durant out, obviously. The guy's been playing at an MVP level. They're going to be missing him. A huge part of their offense. Also a huge part of their defense. And now we're talking about Kyrie Irving leading the team here for a month. So I got my eyes on you, Nets.
Okay.
Let's see if Magic's right here.
Totally. And when I always talk about their lack of size, you do have to remember Kevin Durant's probably their center at times.
He's a seven-footer.
He guards the rim at times, and he does that well. But this team fell apart against the Celtics in the playoffs last year. They have played once this season, and the Celtics did win.
Did they? Was it close?
By 11.
Okay. All right, we'll find out tonight. Hopefully it's an entertaining game there on TNT. Let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
I mean, I assume Magic Johnson is also not Tweet of the Night.
No.
There's another tweet.
There is another tweet. This one comes from former NBA player and current TV personality of the Utah Jazz, Mike Smith. Mike Smith tweeted out this pretty specific historical NBA stat. I want you guys to guess in studio what it is.
Okay.
And if you're on the live stream as well, well, good move, because you can guess as well. So the tweet is, there are only 6 players in the history of the NBA who began their careers averaging 21 points per game or more, and did it for 10 straight years.
Wow.
So 21 is pretty key here in this stat. Can't be below 21.
Yeah.
So there's 6 of them. I'll give you 5, and you have to name the other person.
Okay.
It's MJ, Kareem, Oscar Robertson, Shaq, Allen Iverson, and one more. Wow, can you name the missing one?
Ten straight years. So
lot.
That's a lot. That's
many points.
So LeBron did not achieve 21, did he? In his early days.
Yeah, you know, I will try and track. It was very close. In his rookie year, he got super close, super duper duper close. There's a lot of great players who got close in either the first year or the 10th year as they
fell. Like I was gonna say Dominique Wilkins, but probably not.
It's not Wilkins. Yeah. You know, and again, I'll try and type these in fast to tell you where Dominique didn't do it. No, he was short in his first year, 17 and a half.
Ah, okay.
So, but he would have got it the rest of the way for those other 9 years.
So it's
years.
That, it's that first year, really, is the...
Melo?
No, not Carmelo.
No, not enough in the rookie season.
Great guess. No, he did it in the rookie season. Oh. His second year, big drop off from 21.0 to 20.8. Just missing. There's a lot of guys who just missed 21 points. Maybe if they're playing in this era where we've got 45, 20 point scorers currently, something like that, maybe they would do it. But yeah, I asked this question because it's not an easy answer. Seasons. Took me a while to figure it out.
It did? Is it very difficult?
It's tough. The guy obviously
still playing.
Scored a ton. No.
Oh, okay, that helps a little bit.
Out of the league.
Has he been covered in any iteration of the podcast?
No.
Oh, so an oldie.
But I had to think about it. But
okay. Is it a Celtics legend?
No. Who are you going to say?
I don't know. I thought maybe a Pierce
Bird.
Wouldn't have
Bird was
no,
a
Bird
good
was
guess.
Who I was going to guess. But
Bird was Bird was close. I think right at the end of his 10 years, he didn't do it.
Karl Malone did not score enough early on.
His first and 10th year, I do believe he missed. Yeah, Bird just missed at the end. It's not easy. This is not an easy question.
Jerry Stackhouse.
Wow. Creative.
Exactly.
Is it on a Stackhouse level? Like, that's what I want. Like,
no.
Or a better player.
Better player. Hall of Fame player.
Hall of Fame player.
Reggie Miller? No.
He probably was near.
Reggie did not.
Mitch Richmond.
Mitch Richmond!
Nice!
Is
good
the answer.
Ball, man.
There we go.
Put him in the Hall of Fame.
Put him in the Hall of Fame.
Hey, we got there. Good stuff.
Yeah, Reggie. Reggie not close enough.
So Mitch Richmond was scoring. He won Rookie of the Year, didn't he? Did he?
Yeah. He did. He definitely did.
Okay.
The guy that everyone points to as the baseline player in the Hall of Fame quite often. Yeah, he came out. Scoring. Just came up 22 points per game in his rookie year.
Damn.
And didn't stop. I mean, injuries slowed him down in his early 30s. He also came out pretty late.
He was steady as a rock.
I like that joke. That was his nickname.
That's right.
According to Basketball Reference, though, his other nickname was Hammer. What?
Is he the Hammer or is he the
Rock?
Yeah,
I think one or the other, man.
I've never heard the Hammer for him.
Same.
But The Rock, absolutely. All right, good tweet of the night. I love a trivia tweet of the night. That's it for today's podcast. But we got another one coming up in mere hours later today. NBA midseason tiers. We are once again going to rank all 30 teams, the league's best to the worst teams. We got 5 different categories. We had a blast doing this podcast in the preseason, so we're going to do it again here at the midseason point. On tomorrow's podcast, it's The Drop, baby. Special guest, Mike Prada of The Athletic. He's got a brand new book out about the three-point revolution called Spaced Out. So we'll talk to him a little bit about his book, and then I think we could do some, like, mid-season award talk, too. Get his opinion on who's sort of leading some of these, talk about disappointing teams that are playing above their heads a little bit. We'll get into that with Mike Prada. You're going to take over worst of the week duties from our guy Tassie. You're headed home to the Great White North. Mm-hmm. Hey, don't go too far. You'll end up in Polar Bear Provincial Park.
Thank you for the map, TNG.
So you know where you're going.
I'm flying straight to the Hudson Bay. I'm going to hang out there.
Drop you off in the Hudson Bay. A lot of people don't know that when you go to Canada. It's a seaplane. They just drop you off in the middle of it.
I'm going
to
be high-fiving polar bears in Polar Bear Park. Can't wait.
No Tass on The Drop, but Trey has Worst of the Week nominees. And we'll have a lot of fun on The Drop podcast tomorrow. Until then, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us, and remember, Chevrolet, why don't you give Mitch Richmond a truck? Like a rock. I'm trying to find out if they ever gave him a truck here on the internet. Come on, internet, what are you good for? Let me know.
You're trying to find out if Chevrolet ever gave Mitch Richmond
it only truck. Makes sense. It's going to be I've got to go to the dark web, but I'm going to find
like
it.
Like a rock.
Yes. Well, those are old commercials, aren't they?
Yeah.
Bring it back.
Hey, speaking of jingles.
Yeah.
Ziggy and the Stream Team said that Barry Manilow wrote the jingle for Like a Good Neighbor, State Farm is There.
What?
Factually accurate.
Wow.
And then Weezer covered the entire song. So maybe that's why Barry Manilow is coming to State Farm.
Wow.
Cool. See you
yeah,
there.
He probably made some money off that.
Oh, yeah. Manilow, yeah, yeah. I got nothing for you. Right. No Barry jokes.
All right, that's fine. Embrace the day, people.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.